Hi, welcome to Second Drumara Presbyterian Podcast. Normally on a Sunday, we meet together in Second Drumara Presbyterian Church. Because we can't meet together with others to worship God like we normally do, we wanted to give people the opportunity to meet together around God's Word, the Bible. We also wanted people to be able to pray together, and to hear what God has to say to us at a really difficult time for us as individuals, as families, as a community, in Drumara, as a country, and as a whole world. We normally sing together, we can't do that right now, but there's lots of great hymns and songs that help us to worship God on Spotify, YouTube, and in other places too. So instead we've put together this podcast. There's prayers, there's a short children's talk, and we'll be thinking about what God has to say in His Word, the Bible, about certainty in an uncertain world. We'll be thinking about Luke's Gospel. Luke was one of Jesus' very earliest followers. He was a medical doctor. And the big message of his biography of Jesus is that Jesus brings us certainty. I think that's a perfect message for these times of great uncertainty. Let's spend some time with God and let's pray. God our Father, as we come before you, we are unsure of so many things. We are unsure of what is happening in our community and our country and our world right now. So thank you, Father, that in the middle of all this uncertainty, we can be certain about Jesus. We can be sure that Jesus is your Son, God through and through. We can be sure that Jesus is also 100% human, like us through and through, but without the sin. And we can be sure that Jesus died on the cross to forgive our straying away from you, our sin. We've tried all sorts of things and ways to bring us satisfaction and meaning and help and hope, but none of them have worked. Help us to see that, and honestly and humbly, to admit that we desperately need Jesus. Enable us to turn to Jesus and make him our king, our boss, and stop living for ourselves. And help us too to trust in Jesus for our forgiveness and a fresh start with you through his death for us on the cross. Above all, may you be honoured by this time of worship as we come together with you and with others. And we pray all this through Jesus, for we know that he is the only way we can come to you, Father. Amen. The next part of Dr. Luke's biography about Jesus that we come to in our series is Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 62 in God's Word, the Bible. Rebecca will read a selection of these verses for us now.
Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and a man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, No more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, This man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, You also are one of them. Man, I'm not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, Certainly this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean. Peter replied, Man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly.
When I'm in Second Gemara, I get the boys and girls to come up to the front. Today, I just want you to listen, wherever you are. Boys and girls, it's great to have you listening in, and it's great to have good friends. Don't you agree? Do you have a best friend? A bestie? Can you tell me the name of your best friend? Maybe at the moment, you feel sad because you aren't seeing your best friend as much as you normally do. You can FaceTime them, and that's really good, to hear them and even see them, but it's not quite the same, is it? Just the other day, I was reading about a man who had a best friend. The man was called Joseph Scriven. Joseph was born in Banbridge, County Down. That's just about a 20-minute car drive away from us in Drumara. But Joseph's best friend wasn't born in Banbridge. Joseph Scriven had some really sad times in his life. As he thought about them, it inspired him to write about his best friend, Jesus. So, Joseph wrote a hymn, and the hymn is called, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." I know it's one of people's favourite songs about Jesus. When he felt sad, Joseph knew he could tell Jesus, his best friend, just how he felt. Here's a verse that Joseph wrote about his best friend, Jesus. "Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." Jesus is a faithful friend. When we give our hearts and lives to him, he will never let us down. Jesus knows when we feel weak or worried or sad. So we can pray and ask him to bring our prayers to God our Father and tell him just how we feel. Jesus died on the cross and rose again from death on the 3rd day. That means that when we put our trust in Jesus and ask him to forgive our straying away from him, that's our sin, Jesus will forgive us and Jesus will come into our lives. And he will always be with us. Jesus makes that very promise to his followers in Matthew chapter 28 verse 20. "Surely I am with you always," Jesus promises. We can be sure that Jesus will be with us always, because Jesus is the best friend we could ever have. I'm going to pray for you now, boys and girls, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we may feel worried or afraid, and we really miss our friends. Thank you that Jesus can be our best friend. So help us to love Jesus and follow him, and know that Jesus will be with us always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many of us realise that we need help from outside of ourselves and outside of our own capabilities. I believe that we need Jesus' help, for the Bible makes it clear that Jesus is the King who is in ultimate charge of our world. So Frida is going to lead us now in talking to God in prayer for our world, our community, our families, and for ourselves.
Many of us realise that we need help from outside of ourselves and from outside of our own capabilities. I believe that we need Jesus' help, for the Bible makes clear that Jesus is the King who is in ultimate charge of our world. So I'm going to lead us now in a prayer for our world, our community, our families, and ourselves. God our Father, we thank you that this is your world. You have made it and you are in charge of it. So who better to bring our needs and the needs of others to than to you? We pray for countries right across your world where there is real need and deep concern. We think especially of China, Iran, Italy, and Spain. But not just these countries, all people everywhere. We pray for governments, as you encourage us to do in your word, the Bible. And we pray for wisdom way beyond what they naturally possess. Enable those in authority to make the best and wisest decisions for the well-being of their people. We pray for the UK, and as part of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, we pray for the island of Ireland. We know that here coronavirus cases are rapidly increasing. We pray for our own governments too, that you will give them wisdom about what to do for the best of all people. We thank you for our National Health Service. We praise you for everyone who works in a hospital, GP practice, or out in the community. Thank you for their expertise, dedication, and that their heart is very much for the patients they care for. Please be with them at this time of increasing pressure and enable them to lean on Jesus as their refuge and strength. We pray for those in charge of education, with schools, further education colleges, and universities closed. Please guide them about how important exams like GCSEs and A-levels should be awarded. And Father, we pray for our people. We know that we are all concerned, not simply for ourselves, but for our families and for our communities. Please help us all to have our trust, not in ourselves and in our abilities, but only in Jesus and in his loving care for us. The care that took him all the way to the cross to give his life so that we can be safe forever. We pray for the community of Dromara, just as those listening from other places join us in praying for their community. Please protect people and stop this virus in its tracks. Father, please hear our prayer, not because we deserve it, but because we ask it in the name of Jesus, who is the only way to you. Amen.
This week has seen huge changes in our day-to-day lives. Very few of us can remember a week like it. Have there been moments when you felt overwhelmed by all that's happening? Have there been times when you thought, this is beyond me, this is beyond my strength, this is beyond my power? Up until the coronavirus pandemic, in our Sundays together at church, we've been seeing how Jesus brings us certainty. And today we continue listening to Dr. Luke's carefully investigated, eyewitness-based biography on Jesus. And what great certainty Jesus brings those who look to him and not to ourselves or to some other creaking crutch. Isn't it great to know that Jesus brings us certainty? As we turn today to Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 62, we see that Jesus' pardoning power is greater than Satan's destructive strength. Jesus' pardoning power is greater than Satan's destructive strength. And here's where we begin. First of all, with the fact of Satan's power and our weakness. Now, that's a bad combination for us. We are weak and Satan is strong. In the next incidents in Jesus' life that Dr. Luke relates to us, we see Satan's power and our weakness in a number of ways. For one thing, there's Satan's destructive strength. Here's just one example of it. Satan wants to utterly destroy the faith of Jesus' 12 disciples. We know that because whenever Jesus says in verse 31, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. To sift means to utterly destroy. So, Satan wants to use his strength to wreck Jesus' disciples and to wreck their faith in Jesus. To underestimate Satan's strength is a big mistake. Here's what the Bible says about the devil in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Your enemy, the devil, prowls round like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That's who Satan is. He's a roaring lion. He's looking to devour us. I remember seeing a lion's destructive strength and its devastating effects in one of David Attenborough's brilliant series, Planet Earth. A pack of hungry, aggressive lions took on, hunted down and killed an elephant. I could hardly believe what I was watching. The lion's destructive strength was a grisly sight. Satan is a roaring lion. He's on the prowl, looking for someone to devour. At this time, with all the hype and fear that's around, please beware of Satan's destructive strength. If you love and follow Jesus, please understand that Satan is on the prowl, wanting to devour, wanting to wreck your relationship with Jesus, wanting to frighten you into losing confidence in Jesus. Please beware of that. And please also understand, if you have not yet come to follow Jesus, that Satan is on the prowl against you too, wanting to devour, wanting to wreck your life forever, by keeping you away from Jesus, who wants to love and protect you forever. Please beware of that too. As well as Satan's destructive strength, there is also our weakness. Peter is in view here, and we are in view through Peter. We see Peter's weakness in a whole stack of ways. His courage fails him. As soon as a servant girl accuses Peter of being with Jesus, verse 56, Peter denied it, verse 57. And he is a repeat offender. He disowned Jesus three times, verse 57, verse 58, and verse 60. He deliberately lets Jesus down. Peter has had time to prepare for these challenges. Jesus earlier warned him they were coming. Peter's weakness makes me think about that old adage, if you point one finger at someone, there are three fingers pointing straight back at you. Peter's weakness simply helps us see our weakness. If we point our finger at Peter and say, what a failure, we have three fingers pointing straight back at ourselves. If Peter, one of Jesus' very closest followers, wasn't strong enough to be faithful to Jesus when the pressure was on, we can be sure that we will not do any better than him. As we face coronavirus and all the uncertainties and challenges it brings, we feel weak. Like Peter, we are not fit to face these challenges by our own strength and resources. Perhaps you are the kind of person who has always felt able to face things by yourself. But recent events have shaken you. Recent events have shaken your belief in yourself. And so you are genuinely wondering, for maybe one of the few times in your life, where can I turn to? What can I do? Thankfully for us, this is only part of the story. Because after highlighting the fact that Satan's power and our weakness are terrible, we come to the game changer, a mass of light in the darkness for us. And it's secondly, Jesus' pardoning power is far greater. Notice how in each case, Jesus' pardoning power is greater than Satan's destructive strength or even our weakness. We've been thinking about Satan's destructive strength, but just look at Jesus, and just look at the peace Jesus brought. You see, Satan uses his power to destroy, while, in absolute contrast, Jesus uses his power to bring peace. The mob comes to arrest Jesus with swords and clubs, verse 52. Jesus' disciples respond to this violent threat to their teacher by cutting off the ear of one of Jesus' opponents, verses 49 to 51. But notice how differently Jesus deals with the threat to him. Jesus rebukes his follower who had acted in violence, and then heals the man who has threatened violence against him. Verse 51, but Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. It shows the peace Jesus brought. Quite a number of years ago, I happened to be on the scene when two friends fell out. Somebody asked me, will you speak to them? I did. And, wonder of wonders, they sorted it out and shook hands. I didn't think I'd have much success. But because Jesus came to bring peace, I reckoned that as his follower, I should be trying to do the same. When you follow Jesus, you have Jesus' peace. You have peace that no human circumstance can buy. If you have youth, you may fear getting old. If you have health, you may fear losing it. If you have wealth, you may fear preserving it. But when you have Jesus, you know that you have peace that neither growing older, growing weaker, nor growing poorer can take away. One final example of how Jesus' pardoning power is far greater than Satan's destructive strength or even our weakness. We've seen our weakness, but just look at Jesus, and just look at the restoration Jesus offers. We've seen how Peter blew it with Jesus. 3 times he denied Jesus, his Lord and Saviour. But look at what Jesus does for Peter, the massive failure. Jesus promises that he will restore Peter, and Jesus says that he will even use Peter to restore his other disciples who have failed him too. Can you believe it? Here's what verse 32 says. But after I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus doesn't say to Peter, now Peter, if you turn back to me. Oh no. Jesus says to Peter, when you have turned back. You will turn back to me, Peter, says Jesus, because I will restore you. You see, Jesus brings us certainty. Jesus restores his falling, failing followers. At this time, there's lots we can do to help and support one another. A text or a phone call to say, I'm thinking of you. A bag of basics given to someone who can't get out to the shops. These things all matter. These things all make a difference. Yet we understand, I think, that deeper help, deeper restoration is needed. And it is Jesus who brings that deeper restoration that we all need. As a follower of Jesus, perhaps you feel you have really let him down. As you have been buffeted by the storm of all that has been happening, your faith has felt weak and frail. So come repentantly to Jesus, ask him, and he will restore you. Do you know others who are struggling with what is happening just now? Followers of Jesus too. Perhaps you could strengthen them, just as Peter was used by Jesus to strengthen other believers. Or perhaps the uncertainty of this time has revealed to you that you need a restoration that is deep down and everlasting. A restoration that you are beginning to see only Jesus can bring about. A restoration that you can't ever lose or muck up. But you ask, how could Jesus ever restore me? I'm past restoring. Or you might say, I've never been even the slightest bit interested in being restored by Jesus until this crisis came, so I'd be a bit of a hypocrite running to Jesus now. The answer for any of us, for all of us in fact, is that only something radical could restore our deepest problem, being separated from God. The only answer that really stacks up is Jesus' death on the cross, where Jesus became a substitute. Where Jesus took the place of, the sin of, and God's judgment for everyone who will trust in him, not themselves. That's why Jesus speaks in verse 37, words originally spoken by a prophet centuries earlier. It is written, says Jesus, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. Jesus was treated like a sinner by God, so that God could treat you like his son or daughter. Is Satan's power destructive? Yes. He prowls round like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But please also know that Jesus' pardoning power is far greater. Jesus uses his power to bring peace to all who will love and follow him. And are you weak? Yes, we all let Jesus down, we all do. But Jesus' pardoning power is far greater. For on the cross, Jesus was treated like a sinner by God, so that God could treat you like his son or daughter. If you will turn to Jesus and trust in him.